I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. I've entitled the lessons that we're going through right now, the purpose-driven or purposely deceived church. And if you were with me the last time, you heard me speaking about someone who is very popular in church circles today, and that is Dr. Rick Warren. He said this: the word fundamentalist actually comes from a document in the 1920s called the Five Fundamentals of the Faith, and it is a very legalistic, narrow view of Christianity, end of quote. And the last time we were together, I talked about, well, what were the fundamentals he was referring to? The first fundamental that he was referring to is the Bible. The Bible is inerrant. It has full authority. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. 2 Peter 1:21 says, for the prophecy, the scripture, came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Bible is not important. Why did the scripture say that? It's by the foolishness of preaching, by the foolishness, in other words, of the Word of God. Now, God is not calling his word foolish. He's saying that man will view it as foolish. And evidently, Rick Warren is saying that the Bible is unimportant, that there is no need of it anymore. It's legalistic. And then he's also said that the five fundamentals, and talks about that. And the second fundamental, of course, is Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus was virgin born. He had no earthly father. Now, he was adopted by Joseph. We know that. But the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, overshadowed Mary and came upon her, according to verse 35 of Luke chapter 1. It says, the Holy Ghost came upon her and said, the Holy Ghost would come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. I believe that's important. Then we see that there's divine names involved in the name of Jesus, names that can only be given to God. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So a virgin would give birth to our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's divine. He's God. According to the second fundamental that I've listed here, Jesus Christ, who evidently Rick Warren says is unimportant. Now, the third fundamental is the resurrection. Jesus resurrected according to the Word of God. Romans 4:25 says, who, and that's Jesus, was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. 1 Peter 1:21 says, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. 2 Corinthians 4:14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. 1 Corinthians 15:14 and 15 says, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 15 says, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15 says, thank God for this, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. I don't know about you, but I believe that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is very important. It's a very important fundamental for fundamental Christians who believe the Bible, who believe in Jesus Christ, who believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and also believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 43, it talks about that. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 4 through 6, it says, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep. Now in Psalm 16:10, the Bible says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. This is Jesus now. Remember, he has been, Jesus is everlasting. He's God. And this is a description, or we'll say a prophecy, of what would take place in Jesus' life and his death. It says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. This is speaking of Jesus Christ, about Jesus. And we see that the third fundamental that Rick Warren says is not important is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's one of the five fundamentals that he says is legalistic and unimportant. And then we see the fourth fundamental that, according to Rick Warren, is unimportant, and that is the payment for sin. Christ's atonement. That's payment. 1 John 2:2 says, and he is the propitiation, and that means the satisfaction. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's payment once again for our sins. And John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 6, it says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. That's healed from sin. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, that's Jesus, the iniquity, the sin of us all. Well, Rick Warren says that's not important, evidently. He says that that's legalistic. And we see also that Christ vicarious, that means for somebody else, he had a death. He died. Christ's vicarious death, according to Rick Warren, evidently is not important. Galatians 1:4 says, who gave himself for our sins, that's Jesus, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Unimportant? I think not. People need to be saved. They need to know that Jesus came into this world to live and die and resurrect from the dead for every person in this world who would call upon him and ask him to save them. It's a free gift, eternal life. Well, fundamental number five that evidently Rick Warren sees as unimportant is the second coming of Jesus. And it's going to be literal. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, it says, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And we read in the Old Testament in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4, it says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives," that's Jesus, "which is before Jerusalem on the east, and on the Mount of Olives shall, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south." And guess what? The Mount of Olives is where Christ ascended back to heaven. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. He will stand again on the Mount of Olives when he comes again, literally, according to the Word of God. Revelation 19:11 says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." And not only is Christ coming back the second time, we are coming back with him, according to Revelation 19:14. It says there, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Are we to believe that Christians who hold to these basic, fundamental, foundational doctrines of the Christian faith are narrow and legalistic? On the contrary, the Bible teaches that we are to stand up and proclaim the five foundational doctrines that I've just mentioned and that we've gone over. Those five foundational gospels of the Word of God, first of all, is the Bible. Secondly, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ himself. And third, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Fourth, we look at this and we see the payment for sin. And fifth, the second coming of Jesus Christ, literally. Dr. Warren, author of The Purpose-Driven Church and The Purpose-Driven Life, has stated this: "When you reveal the vision of the purpose-driven church to a church, the old pillars are going to leave, but let them leave. They only hold things up." This is Dr. Warren said that. Well, he's right. The old pillars hold the local church up. These are the members, the members who stand on the Word of God, those people who have been in the local church for years, stood for God. Do you know him today as your Savior? If not, you need to trust him. You need to ask him to come into your heart today. "Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself. Lord, I'm asking you today to give me eternal life. I believe your word where it says, 'For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.' I want to ask you right now, Lord, to come into my heart and save me. I'm sorry for my sin. Please save me so I can be with you one day in heaven." If you'll pray a prayer like that, God will save you. Mean it in your heart. God will save you. Let me pray now. Father, thank you for this time we've had together. May you lead, guide, and direct. Save that soul, Lord, who needs saving today, and help Christians to stand upon the Word of God. For Christ's sake, amen.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.